was in the sacristy and I said to someone, I got some really important things to say today. I don't know if people are going to be able to take me seriously wearing this pink dress. So whatever it takes. But then he said, well, why would that be different from any other Sunday? So today we hear this, one of the greatest stories in human history, certainly one of the greatest parables of Jesus Christ, the story of the prodigal son, or it could be called the story of the loving father. And of course, this is not just a nice story with a happy ending, but it's a story that sums up our entire lives. There's no more true story than the story of the prodigal son. Now, first of all, we identify with different, you know, characters in this story at different times. But the one other thing we have to do is understand that we are, first and foremost, that prodigal son, that we are in need of God's mercy, that we have said to him, I don't want you to be a part of my life, and now I want to return back to you. But the first step of that is convincing ourselves that we need to turn back to the Father. It wasn't right away for the prodigal son, right? He had to convince himself, oh, this isn't what my Father wants for me. My Father treats his servants better than I'm treating myself right now. And so the first step is to convince ourselves that we have greater dignity, that we're worth more, that we need more than those pods that he was feeding on, that there's more for us. And if we wonder, how do we get back to the Father's house? Where's the entrance? Where do I go to enter the Father's house? This is the entryway to the Father's house. That, this is a very nicely constructed, comfortable confessional, but there's a very powerful, an infinitely powerful force field right here, constructed right here. That in our minds, we're like the prodigal son, and we think, what am I going to do? I'm in trouble. I've sinned against my Father. Where can I go? And there's all sorts of lies that the prodigal son convinced himself of. He convinced himself, this is a good life. Then when he realized it's not a good life, then he was worried. Can I go back? What should I do? And eventually the scripture says, he came to his senses. He came to his senses. The biggest lie is the lie of pride. I don't need the Father's forgiveness. I can do just fine on my own. And sometimes, oftentimes, the only way we can get out of that lie is to realize we've hit rock bottom. That, no, I finally realized the cold, hard truth that I can't do this on my own. And that cold, hard truth takes away your pride. But it's much better to set aside the pride before you hit rock bottom and to realize I've wandered off. Wouldn't it have been better if that same day that he wandered off, he came back to the Heavenly Father? And when he comes back to the Heavenly Father, there's a very powerful scripture verse that says, when his father saw him coming from a long way off. His father was looking for him. His father wanted him to come back. However, his father knew, I can't force my son. It's the same with our Heavenly Father. He's always watching for us. He's always cheering for us to come back. However, he can't force us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sons. We'd be prisoners. And so the father, immediately when the son says, I've sinned against heaven and against you, I'm not worthy to be called, his father cuts him off before he can give his rehearsed speech and says, slaughter the fattened calf, we're going to have a party. My son was dead, and now he is found. And that's the experience that we all have when we go to confession. So if you can be like the son and cross that infinite force field, the infinite force field of pride, there's nothing scary once you enter the Father's house. There's no intimidation. That immediately, it's a celebration. Immediately, the Father, Heavenly Father says, enter into your master's joy. Come, let's celebrate. You were dead, and now you are alive. And so there could be a scenario where you come in, and you say, Father, I haven't been to confession in a long time. I don't even know what to say. The priest isn't going to say, you haven't been for many years? How dare you? Get out. No, the priest is going to be like the father and say, okay, first of all, let's just recognize that this is a great day of joy, that you were lost and now you are found, that you've set aside your pride and you've crossed the threshold into the Father's house. You can imagine another scenario where someone would say, oh, Father, it's the same old sins. I just keep doing the same old sins. The father never says, you can only come back once. Who knows if the son made another mistake and came back time after time? The father never puts conditions on his mercy. He says, come back again and again and again and again and again. Okay, the son, like the son, you might say, Father, I have this very embarrassing sin. I don't want to tell you about it. The father isn't concerned about the embarrassment of your sins. All he's concerned about is bringing you back into his house. There's no sin that's too embarrassing. There's no sin that excludes you from the Father's mercy. The prodigal son did every sin in the book. And maybe you think, well, now I'm older, I don't need all this stuff. I went in grade school and I don't need it anymore. The prodigal son has no age. The prodigal son is our entire lives. He extends that mercy forever. He's always his son. No matter how old we are, we're always the Father's sons and daughters. Even if we have our own sons and daughters, even if we have our own granddaughters and grandsons, we're always the Father's son. And it's been beautiful my whole life. Obviously, I've lived alternatingly between the prodigal son who sins and the older son who judges. And so I see myself in those different characters of the scripture. But then now, being a priest, it's been beautiful. People of all ages come, and they humbly confess their sins before God. And I can honestly say, no one's come out of the confessional saying, oh, that was a mistake. I really didn't do that well. I wish I wouldn't have even gone. It's never like that. The only problem is that infinite threshold, that force field of pride that says, I can't go back, or I don't need to go back. Once you cross that threshold, it's a beautiful day of mercy. If someone's been gone for a long time, I always talk about the prodigal son. And then usually I say, you should buy like a donut or something today. Because it's a day of great celebration. The Father is rejoicing. And we need to be aware of that. I myself have been the prodigal son. I've had the great grace of partaking of the sacrament of confession my whole life. However, is there times I've been embarrassed? Yes. Is there times it's been the same sin over and over? Yes. Still, as a priest, I go to confession. Still, do I like going to confession? Not all the time. Do I convince myself, No, it's a lifelong thing. And if we can just set aside that pride and just cross that threshold, we will never regret it. Because no matter what happens on this earth, no matter what you do or don't do in your life, if all you do is make regular practice of using the sacrament of penance, in the end, you'll have lived a good life. Just like the good thief on the cross. He lived a life of thievery, of dishonesty, of everything bad. And the only thing he said to Jesus was, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus says to him, how could you do all those things? I'm embarrassed of you. No, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. The good thief is a saint. The prodigal son is a saint because they've entered into their master's house, the Father's house. And that is the destiny of our lives, and everything else is just details. So there's nothing too embarrassing to bring to the Heavenly Father. There's no shame when you leave your sins in the confessional. When you go to the confessional, your sins stay there, and you come out completely wiped clean. And you're never not the son or daughter of the Heavenly Father. The problem with sin, just like our prodigal son today, is we convince ourselves that we're not. God never stops being your father, but by our sins, we say, like the prodigal son, I don't want to be here anymore. But don't think that actually changes the reality. All it is coming back to our senses and remembering, oh, I am the son of God. I am the daughter of God in Christ Jesus, his only son. The difference between a good life and a bad life is that whether we live according to our pride or can humble ourselves and say, I have been and always will be a son or daughter of my eternal Father. And the Father says, my son was lost and now is found. Come, let us slaughter the fattened calf. Let us celebrate because he was dead and has come to life again.